in James McPherson next weekend. I've got to tell you, James McPherson is probably my favourite preacher right now of all time. If you haven't heard him speak, you will be very, very inspired and encouraged next week. He is just hitting the nail right on the head right now. He is intelligent, he is researched, and he is very charismatic. And so you will really enjoy James. And you can tell him I said all of those things, because it worked well for me getting a little bit of James McPherson favor going on, all right? He is a good guy. It's great to be here in Tassie. It's a bit cold. I've come down from Queensland a couple of days. Someone's nodding. But you breed your girls tough, I've got to tell you. Like, I'm seeing some girls getting around town with not wearing much at all. I don't know whether they're tough or just stupid, but it's... Have you seen some of them? What are you saying? Yeah, you're not supposed to be looking at them, man. But I get out of the service, I get out of the what were we doing last night? We were at a gala dinner, and like 11:30 at night or something, I'm walking downtown because I had to park 4 miles away, and I was in my full suit, and I was freezing. And then I passed these two girls that had nothing but high heel shoes on and a bit of black cloth. And I'm thinking, what is it with Tasmanian girls? What is it? They were? There were angels. Oh, no, they weren't. You've got your theology a little bit mixed up. We'll try and sort it out by the end of the session, right? I've been here before. I don't know if anyone... Yeah, you probably forgot about me. It was a few years ago, and I've actually been here once before then as well. Had a little bit to do with Tassie, not just as a holiday destination, which I do, but Bob and Naomi Emmidge are really good friends of mine. We've worked together in youth work for many, many years, and I was very much involved in the establishment of Live Free Tassie, and I love what Bob and Naomi are doing here and what they've achieved. And it was great to be part of the gala dinner last night and to be involved in that. And they raised $85,000 last night. That's a great outcome. And so I get to come and be part of all of that. And even though I've finished up with Teen Challenge as a leader there, I hope that my association with various expressions of Teen Challenge around the country will continue, particularly down here with Bob and Naomi's program, Live Free Tassie. I finished up with TC. Goodness me, a lifetime of service there. It was a big thing to make that call. And I just wanted to have a broader influence, and I'm setting up a consultancy services for not-for-profit organisations. And, you know, we'll work with some of the big ones and earn some money there so that we can resource and fund the work I want to do with churches and the church-based not-for-profit, because there's not a lot of money there to pay. So we need to sort of transfer that money across. And we'll just want to help them set things up for success, get things running smoothly in the business sense. And that's kind of got to what I'm going to do for the next season. And it's been fun. I've been working with the Anglicans this year. Did about a three-month program with a contract with them. And that was great fun up in Brisbane, just seeing how things work differently. And then just before I came down, I did an appeal to the Catholics, and I sat there with the father and his board and sat down and talked to him. And I'm really enjoying getting out into the broader body of Christ and relate to them and understand them and work with them. I'm finding it very, very exciting. So I haven't done a lot of preaching around the place this year because I've been getting this new direction set up. And I'm feeling kind of comfortable. It's we'll see how it goes. I want to talk to you today about your attitude. Oh, now I'm not comfortable at all. I want to talk to you about your attitude. And we're going to go look at the story of the prodigal son. And all of the years of work with Teen Challenge, you can imagine that the story of the prodigal son is something that I'm familiar with and relate to and talk about, having worked with so many young men over the years and seen them move forward in their lives and give up their addiction and resolve their homelessness situation and work through their relationship issues and see them restored back into not only a relationship with their families and with the community at large, but see them restore a relationship with God and move on with their lives. The story of the prodigal son is pretty close to my heart and my reality. So we're going to have a look at it today. Those of you who've got Bibles or iPhone apps, if you could look it up and read along with me. Who's got an iPad app with them today? None of you. Do you guys have... It's Tassie, eh? Let me tell you about iPads that are coming in the future. They're great things. They're going to be amazing. Anyway, I lost mine. I flew off the back of my motorbike and just trashed. And I'm stuck with a little iPhone and my eyesight's fading and I need to get my iPad back one day. I'll get another one. Whatever you're looking up today, I appreciate that not everyone carries a big bulky Bible around anymore. But if you could have a look at it, we're going to look at the story of the prodigal son. And we're going to talk about attitude from when we finally get into it. You know, attitude's a funny word. You actually won't find it in, I don't think you'll actually find it in any of your translations in the Bible. You certainly won't find it in the more traditional ones, the Old King James, New King James, the NIV. It doesn't exist in any of those Bibles. It's a new word. And it's one we band around all the time. I mean, who's been told they've got an attitude at some point in time and they're like, yeah, I love the honesty. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Because you know that they weren't actually talking about something positive when they said that, eh? When you're told you've got an attitude, you're not saying, that's great, we love your attitude. You've got an attitude. It's a negative thing. But that's not what it means. And it can mean a positive thing or a negative thing, really. You can have a positive attitude. Sam, you were talking about having an attitude towards God, the one that is giving this morning, as a giving attitude. So we can use it positively. So the next time someone says, you've got an attitude, just say, yeah, thank you. Of course I do. And so what is an attitude? If I'm going to talk about it, we better sort of get some kind of common, shared understanding of what I'm talking about when we talk about attitude. Attitude, and even though it's a modern word, it is I believe it helps us understand some of the things that Jesus was trying to teach us. And sometimes we miss those things. But this word actually captures something of some of the things he was trying to teach. You see, attitude means it's an outward disposition. Sorry, it's an outward expression of an inner disposition. That is what your attitude is. It's an outward expression of what's going on in you emotionally. It can be influenced by what's going on in terms of what you think and what you believe, but only in terms of what you think and believe affects you emotionally, and then your attitude is the expression of that. It's your outer disposition or outer expression of your inner disposition. And so when I stand there and look at you like that, I am expressing outwardly my inner disposition, which probably looks like I'm a bit ticked off. Being ticked off is my inner disposition, but you're seeing it. Now, the thing is that I think that we focus way too much on our outward stuff. What's going on externally? We are encouraged by Jesus, and I love his teaching. His teaching is profound, and it applies to everyday life, even today, thousands of years after he made these statements. But he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, and when he says all these things, he's talking about all these positive things, all these exciting things about life, all the things that you need in your life will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Another point in time, he actually explains where the kingdom of God is. In fact, he goes through lots of parables about the kingdom of God. So he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Then he says, where it is. He said, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. The kingdom of God is within you. And you know what? We spend so much time engaging with the external world, trying to sort out the external world, trying to make it work for us, trying to find meaning and value in life by engaging with external things, when we're actually encouraged by our great teacher that the kingdom of God is to be found within us. And our attitude is a reflection of what is going on inside us. And if we want to change things in the external world, even our external expression, we need to be concerned about what's going on inside and internally, not focused on what's going on externally. Seek first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added unto you. Where is it? The kingdom of God is within you. So let's think about our attitude then as something that's going on within us. All right, let's look at this parable, the parable of the lost son. I'm going to read a big chunk now, and then we'll come back and sort of pick a few key points. You all know the story. I know that, but there's some specific words I want to focus on today. You know that it's a story too, don't you? You know that this didn't actually happen. You know that the prodigal son is a story. Jesus told this story. And when you think, why did he tell the story? If it didn't actually happen, why did he tell the story? He told the story to teach us something. That's why Jesus told stories. It was so that he could actually teach us something. So there's something we need to learn from this story and be encouraged by. So Jesus continued, and he told this story. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, and he set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And so they began to celebrate." Let's stop there. There's so much in this story. And even if we go on, a little bit about the second son and the relationship there. There's so much we can learn from it. And I'm just going to talk about one simple little element of this particular story that we can learn from today. I've worked with so many young people over the years. And they've come to Teen Challenge and they come to Live Free Tasmania. And they're really coming because they want to change their life. They've kind of had enough. They're kind of like this prodigal son. Some of them have come to their senses. They've woke up to themselves. They've realized that this is no way to live their life and they want to change. But it's funny when they come in, you know. They come in essentially with the same disposition often that the prodigal son has, which is an attitude of give me. A take attitude, a gimme attitude. And the gimme attitude will not have a positive impact on your life. Just like the prodigal son, when he went to his father, he said, "Give me all that I am entitled to. Give me my inheritance." We have young men that come to Teen Challenge with that same gimme attitude. And what they're concerned about when they walk through the door is what they are entitled to. They're concerned about how much leave they're going to get, how much money they're going to be able to get while they're there, how many meals they get, what the food's going to be like, how much free time they're going to get. They want to know all this stuff, and it's all this gimme, gimme, gimme. what am I going to get out of this? Who? What's in this for me? It's all very focused on them, their entitlements, their wants, their desires, their needs. Give me, give me, give me. And there has to be a change in attitude before they're going to recover from their addictions and their dependencies and their wayward living and start to move forward. And what I'm proposing from this verse is that they've got to move from a give me attitude to a make me attitude. And see, the prodigal son was said, give me all that I am entitled to. But there was a change in his life. Circumstances taught him that this was not working. And his change in disposition was from give me to go back to his dad and say, make me. Make me into one of your hired servants. And that disposition and that attitude will transform your life. It will transform a young man's life when their life is not working, to move from gimme to make me. And we can come into all areas of our life. We can come into our relationships with a gimme attitude. We can come into church life with a gimme attitude. We can come into our workplaces with a gimme attitude. There are so many areas of our lives that we can bring a gimme attitude. And I want to suggest, if it's not, those things aren't working for you, if there's some disillusionment, if there's some frustration, if there's some struggle and you're just not breaking through, I want you to assess the attitude that you bring to that situation. If it's your relationships, if it's your workplace, if it's your church life, I want you to sit there and honestly assess whether you have the right attitude towards those situations. Because I firmly believe that you can work tirelessly trying to change things externally and see very little happen. But if you start to change what's going on internally, there's an outward working, an outward flow, a dynamical change will begin to occur. We focus far too much on external things when Jesus himself said the kingdom of God is actually within you. You want to release the power of God's kingdom. You want to release the wisdom and the insights and the peace and the joy that comes with the kingdom of God. You have to go internal to do that, not external, trying to change external things. So the make me attitude versus the gimme attitude. It's an interesting dynamic and how they actually work. And let's try and break it down a little bit. The gimme attitude, as I said, can be manifest in all kinds of areas in life. So we might want to change some of those things. Let's talk about some of the examples where this takes place. The gimme attitude is not a humble attitude. Humility is linked with the make me attitude. The give me attitude is all about how what you deserve, what you're entitled to. The make me attitude is captured in the disposition of the prodigal son, who says, I am not worthy to be called your son. It's a disposition of being aware of your weaknesses, being aware of your frailty, being aware of your inadequacies, and not thinking that you have these unconditional entitlements coming your way all the time. And you have to humble yourself and realize that you haven't got it all together. The disposition that you need, if you're going to change those circumstances, to become aware and acknowledge that you haven't got it all sorted. You don't know it all. You haven't got it all clear. And you haven't got it all together. You haven't arrived yet. And that is the disposition. And so now you're going to go from, all right, I haven't arrived. I haven't got it all together. I need help. Someone make me into a better person. Someone make me into a better son or daughter. Someone make me into a better father. Someone make me into a better leader. Better manager, better carpenter, better bank manager. Someone help make me. And it changes everything when you do that. The make me attitude actually brings provision in your life. Provision will follow that attitude. You see, the prodigal son was hungry. Immediately comes back to his father. And his father says, make me into one of your servants. And the father says, get the fatted calf, let's kill it, let's have a feast. It was immediately provided for. And provision follows, I believe. Let me give you an example. Let me look out here. Who's single? Yeah, Brian. Who's looking for partners? This is your opportunity. You put your hand up and you can check each other out across the room. You can make a note, sort of follow up later, coffee, biscuit. I'll check up that person across there. There's one over there on the left. Yep. All right. Who's got a list? Do you know what I mean? Who's ever had a list? Look at you guys in a list. You know, I find the list thing fascinating. I've got to tell you, though, I'm a bit worried about the lists. Who got exactly what they wanted on the list? Did you really? You have to say that, Sam. Gotcha. I understand. So the list essentially goes something like this. God, give me someone who is rich, good looking, good temperament, doesn't smoke, doesn't drink, goes to church. Give me, give me, give me, give me. I want to suggest a better way to do this. All you single people, pens ready. Change your prayer. God, make me into a good husband, good wife, good life partner, good soulmate. Make me into that kind of person. And I believe that provision will follow that attitude. You will attract. Young man, in this day and age in church life, if you have that disposition, you will have women all around you wanting a piece of the action. I'm telling you, that's what girls are looking for. You know, they're not looking for guys who know how to strut their stuff and drive their car fast. They're actually looking for someone who's going to be a good soulmate, a good life partner. And if you commit, look, there's girls nodding. There's girls listening. Oh, yeah, that's right. Listen to him. Listen to him. I know. There's a few people looking here, been married like forever. You would know phases in your marriage life where you've felt, God, just fix her up. God, you know, give me a husband that's, you know, more attentive to my needs, and, you know, he's going to be around a bit more, and give me this and that. I just know that the disposition of, even when you're in that relationship, of make me, changes the dynamic of that relationship, and the person will respond to you differently when you, even if you say to your partner, I've been trying, I can't figure you out, can't work it out, don't know how to do this thing called love, but if you would make me into a better partner for you, help me, teach me, train me, is it going to get a different response? You're going to get a different response altogether. And so provision follows when you have that make me attitude. The other thing that follows is promotion. Promotion follows. You see, the father immediately got the robe and the ring and put that ring on the finger of the guy. Now, what happened there was that the guy came and said, make me into your servant. And he was immediately reinstated as a son. He was immediately promoted from servant to son. He was given his place within the family again. And when you read on, that's what the other son took exception to and struggled with. Promotion follows. Now, I've been involved in employing people over the years and working with people and helping them. And I know that the gimme attitude is really frustrating as an employer. When you have employees who are primarily interested in what their entitlements are. But I'm entitled to 35 minutes break. I am entitled to leave after 7 3/4 hours. And if I do another 50 minutes, I'm entitled to a time and a half. And if you get people who are just constantly on about what they're entitled to, it becomes really frustrating. Now, employers, I'm not suggesting we should exploit our people and we shouldn't look after them. We have, definitely have a responsibility. But I think you know what I mean when you've got people who are watching with, and their primary focus is what they are entitled to. It is frustrating. The people who move forward are people who are not so much focused on what they're entitled to. They're focused on doing the best job they can. They're focused on trying to work out what it is their employer wants from them so they can deliver. They're focused on the best interests of the company or the organization. Now, employers are looking for these people, and they're the ones that are going to advance through their organization. I know that when I've got a young guy in a program, a Teen Challenge, and they're in that disposition of, you know, why don't I get to share my testimony? Why don't I get to travel around and have those kind of opportunities? Why don't I get to encouraged to go and do that training program? I'm entitled to these things. That's a gimme, gimme, gimme attitude. But when you get a young man who comes and says, you know, I just want you to help me become a good communicator, a good speaker, because that's what I believe I'm called to do. Will you help me become a good speaker? Will you help me become what God has called me to be? That is a make me attitude. Now, you imagine, which fella am I going to be wanting to help? Which one am I going to be wanting to connect with? Which one am I going to be motivated emotionally to engage with and give opportunity to? And it's the same in any work environment. When there's whether employees who are giving that make me attitude, and you don't even have to use the make me. Well, you have to make me into a good bank manager. The make me attitude is an outward expression of an inner disposition. So you've got to get that inner disposition right first, and then it will just come out in your language. I want to. You just say to your boss, I want to learn everything you have to teach me about this job. I want to do this job to the very best of my ability. I'm prepared to learn and whatever it is I need to learn so I can do the very best job in this organization. I'll say this to young people in particular, because the older people should know all this. But young people, these are the kind of messages, if you give to your immediate supervisor, and if you can get that message up above, then it's powerful. But if you can just let your bosses know that that is your disposition, that is your attitude, I assure you that promotion will follow. I assure you it will, because they're wired into that. And God is wired into that as well. You know, we can actually approach our relationship with God with a gimme attitude instead of a make me attitude. And we can even find ourselves expressing that gimme attitude when we're in ministry. And I spent 15 years in paid full-time ministry. And I've struggled with this at times in my life. And I've talked to other leaders at times as well, where you come before God and you have that gimme attitude and you think about your entitlements. And I can assure you that if you come to a relationship with God with a gimme attitude, you will end up disillusioned. Because he never, ever called you to be rich, to be settled, to be have everything sorted out and everything running smoothly. That's not what he said. Come to me and I will give you. That was never the call. Do you know what the call was? Come with me and I will make you. Come to God and I'll turn you into something. Come to God and I will transform you, change you. Yes, he's a giving God. But as Sam pointed out, he's very concerned about you. He's very focused on you. And he wants to make you into the most unique, wonderful, dynamic person that you can, more than you can even imagine. And it's not about what he gives you in terms of stuff and opportunity. It's what he teaches you and trains into your life and develops into your capacity that will make you those things. So we need to come to God with that disposition of, God, make me into a fisher of men. Make me into someone who has a positive impact on others, that leads others to a knowledge of God themselves. That is what Jesus is actually saying. Guys, we want to talk about success in life. And I'm wrapping this up right now. So Sam, you better get ready. Wrapping this up right now. If we want to talk about success in life, it's all about attitude. And just so that you remember that, I want you to just do a simple little exercise for me now. Scramble around, some of you at least, find a pen or a bit of paper. Or you could do this on your notes page on your iPhone, Sam, if you want. He's already onto it. So what I want you to do is down the side of the page, I want you to write the word attitude all the way down. Okay? The word attitude down the page. And then what I'm going to ask you to do is allocate a numerical value to each of the letters of the word attitude. The numerical value is based on where it appears in the alphabet. So A would be? That's right. Now go through the word and allocate them each a numerical value. So your A, then you get double couple of T's, an I, another T, U, and a D, and an E. Give them all a numerical value and then add them up. And now I want the first person to add them up and get a total to yell it out. That's 100. That's right. You've done the exercise before. You're just good at maths. Did you do that? Because he's not even writing anything down. He doesn't look like he'd be good at maths. <laughs> 100. Guys, your success in life is 100% attitude. I'm done. Thank you.